the first part of this week was just, I felt very oppressed and just totally covered with shame and totally disconnected. And like, I know God's real for other people, but right now I don't feel like He's real for me. And I just felt like I was in a cloud and just very oppressed. And this morning, it was like, I just had, it, you know how there are times like when you're just hit by a thought or hit by a word? And I was ascending from the stove and it was like, surrender. And I just like instantly burst into tears. It was just like, you know, it was just like God was saying, surrender, you know, I'm here, just surrender to what's already here. And I mean, it was just like, and then I just walked in the living room, Kat looks up and goes, Mom, and I started laughing. It was like everything was all, like it had always been the same, you know, but I disconnected myself from what was always there.
Yeah.
It was
wild. That's neat. That's what it means to enter into His rest, that we are seated on that mercy seat. And we have sat down with Him.
That's where, you know, what we're sitting now in class, you know, the Inferno. And, you know, you just read about all this shit and law and judgment and stuff. And I was reading it and I thought, gosh, this is great that I'm delivered from this kind of mentality of law, of works, of, you know, like the unfinishedness of everything. It's just amazing.
Yeah. But it ties into what Lee was going through too, because the greatest lie is this lie that there is separation. And the anecdote for that lie isn't that I need to do something, I need to pray more, The anecdote is to see through the lie. And that he that is joined, or she that is joined to the Lord, is one spirit. It's not a matter of... And I was thinking about, especially those, like the Brendas and the Tinas, and because we had a big talk about it today, but... is this idea that what are we? You know, Norman Grubb says that he's not a believer. He's a knower. And that's really the difference between that God wants to bring you into the position where you're no longer a believer, you're a knower. Now the difference between being a believer and a knower, I mean, there's a jillion believers. Dime a dozen. But you have to start. You have to be a believer before you can be a knower. And the idea that we start believing in Him, that's a start. That's leaving Egypt. But then we know, because all these things have been worked out in us. So we are what we know. And then we know. There's no possibility of ever being separate again. And that's somehow, again, the problem that I have with Norman in that thing is that they talk about that in relationship to you as an individual, that you know, and that's wonderful. But God isn't dealing with us as individuals. He's dealing with us as a body. And if you don't know, then I don't know. And therefore I have to. You then are as important. You know, that's going back to what we talked about Monday night about the hot seat thing. If you are on the hot seat, I'm on the hot seat. And I can't hate my own flesh by leaving it. I must know that you know.
I understand.
And you must know that I know, that there is total unity. Now, to the senses, this is always going to seem weird. And that's what I was going to read in 2 Peter chapter 3. Everybody get a Bible.
Yeah, there's one thing I want to say about that. Monday night after Bible study, Barbara asked me if I was okay. I'm going to start crying, so I'm just really upset that I wasn't. And Barbara and Tyra and I were talking, but it was really Barbara and I that were talking.
Yeah.
Tyra was in front of me. Pete was behind Tyra, and I think Kim was beside Tyra. In any case, I just this weird flash when I was going home that it was like Barbara and I were on a trampoline, and the three of them were like spotters. It was just like, it was wow. But it was all connected.
Amen. Chapter 3 of 2 Peter. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful or conscious of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers or mockers, walking after their own lust. Now again, to walk after your own lust simply means you walk after your sensory perception. That's what it means. You understand that? It's not, you don't walk. It's, you know, like, you know, I mean, that's just Rex's normal state, but... But it's not walking after your own lusts or sensory perception. And you do that, but you say, where is the promise of his coming? Now, that's a bad translation. It's better, it means the same, but if the translation better is, where is the evidence of his presence? It's 2 Peter.
Yeah, I've got it.
Okay.
3 what?
Chapter 3.
Verse 4.
Now in verse 4. It's way almost to Revelation.
I had it, but...
You can't look in John. It's just before 1st and 2nd John, just after Hebrews. You got it? And saying, where is the promise of his coming? Now again, the translation is better. Where is the evidence of his presence? Now every time that you are in a state other than joy, you, from God's standpoint, are a mocker and a scoffer, saying, where is the evidence of his presence? Understand? For since the fathers fell asleep, or the fathers died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Now that's the biggest thing that you can ever understand. All things after the senses will continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So that any point along the way, you with a Gentile mind will only see what the Gentiles see. Do you understand me? You will only respond to your feelings, oh, I don't feel good, or oh, I don't feel this way, or oh, I feel that way, or oh, poor me, or oh, this is this way. What you are saying to God by doing that is, to the Jeremiah metaphor, you're saying, the pot is saying to the potter, why have you made me thus? But yet you're saying in the spirit is you're mocking God and saying, where is the evidence of his presence? Now all of you do it. You don't want to do it anymore. You're faced with this incredible dilemma. Either my sensory perception and what my mind says about a particular instance is right, or I'm in joy. The moment you say, or it's finished, the only reason you cannot be in joy is to think that it's not finished. Therefore, yeah. Something else needs to be added. Mm-hmm. Something else needs to be different. You understand?
I was trying to figure out why I felt so weird.
The only way, the only reason that you can ever feel out of sorts from a spiritual standpoint, and it should only last that long, is if you by definition are complete, perfect, forgiven, holy, sanctified in joy. If and in any given instant you don't feel that way, it's only a signal to pray for someone else.
You're praying a lot.
Sometimes. That happened to me this morning in a big way. Big way. It was like in an instant, in a moment, it was like God was gone, the body was gone, everything was gone, and in an instant, it happened so fast, but it was, I looked at who I am, what I do, what my prospects are, where I'm going, the various things I could possibly do, they were all fruitless, they were all boring, the only thing I had to look forward to was another 30, 40 years of nothingness, and then pain, extreme pain, and death, and nothingness. And it was so... It was terrible. It was horrible. It was so bad.
How bad was it?
It was so bad. It only lasted an instant. But it was like, oh no, I'm going right back here. Yeah. This is...
But can you see that... You remember, if you read the book of Job, if you want to see trouble, right? You want to see trouble?
That's
Job.
Trouble.
Job is trouble.
Oh,
he's
trouble.
Right? And in Job 42 it said...
Right,
he said, all this time, I've really only heard about you by the hearing of the ear. I've only believed in you. But now mine eye seeth you. And I repent, and I loathe myself, and I repent, and turn from myself in sackcloth and ashes. And then that mystery scripture, and it says right after that, and Job's captivity was turned when he prayed for his friend. The instant that you see that any position that you feel, i.e. out of sorts, is only the Holy Spirit's signal for you to pray for someone. You may not know, have any idea who it is. You just start praying for someone. Instantly, your captivity is turned. You can't fake it.
That's for sure.
If it's finished in you, then you're only praying that the Holy Spirit would reveal that finishedness in someone else. It's impossible for you to be in any other position than joy, certainty, knowledge, knowing, forgiven, loved, accepted, sanctified, holy, perfect. You can't be in any other position, or I'm a lie and all of this is a lie. The singular way that God has to speak and use you, because our only function, remember, God doesn't want any lone rangers for God. That's what you all want. Every time you sit around and complain, all you're trying to be is a lone ranger. God wants you at that instant to lay down your life for the brethren. I.e., in that case, if you're alone, you pray for someone. You have no idea what it is, but you know that in that praying, you get your eyes off yourself, and you and the brethren are knit together in love.
You're saying you don't even know who you're praying for?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Am I communicating?
Yes.
But if you're a scoffer and a mocker, you shall walk after your own desire, and instead of that position, you shall say, where's the evidence of his presence? Show me something. A believer is one who goes still in the position of God, show me something. A knower is one who says, I pray for you. I'm complete. You are, right now, this instant, Christ in your form. You are perfect because He is perfect. You got it? Okay, now go to 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 1. What?
1:1.
I was asking directions.
We're going to study stuff way over, but just to get the continuity, I'm going to read for a while. Or somebody else read. And if you don't understand something, don't sit there like a bump on a log.
Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge.
And stop him. In everything you are enriched by Him. Got it? There's no thing that you can't be enriched, that there's no thing that can take place in time and space for which you are not enriched by Him. But in everything, you are enriched by Him, in all utterance, in all knowledge. Now we'll see in a minute a scripture that says, the spiritual man understands all things, but is understood by no one. Okay, continue.
Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you.
Confirmed in you. Confirmed means not going to little school thingies and having a confirmation class, if you come from a religious background. Confirmed in you means that in your mind, that which was accomplished in eternity is accomplished in the earth. It's the first part of the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done in earth, in the earthen vessel, as it is in heaven. It's not going to happen. It has happened.
And we just verify it.
We just get rid of the lie. And that's what it means to verify it or to confirm it. We've spewed out the lie. Now, in a very real sense, that's what the Feast of Tabernacles is about. It's a celebration of the confirmation. The confirmation is the betrothal. Amen?
Amen.
So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, again, every time, 90% of the time, when you see the word coming with regard to Jesus Christ, it's the word in the Greek parousa. And it doesn't mean coming like we think it means. It means revelation. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the totality of the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Even if you don't yet see Him in all things, you're waiting for it to see Him in all things.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I still don't understand what that phrase, come behind in no gift, means.
Just doesn't that mean
that you lack in no thing freely given? Again, the word gift in our thing, we think of birthday gifts and Christmas gifts and all that kind of presents. The word gift, as translated here in the Greek, is means that which is the fruit of grace, freely given all things. The only reason you lack is because you secretly believe you'll consume it on your own lusts.
You
said that before.
Could you say that again? Actually, I forgot you said that. Yeah,
but,
I forgot that one. That one comes back to me. That's what the
you say a lot. I mean, we don't have any needs. All our needs are met. But if we're in lack,
it's because you believe if you get it, what you want, that you'll be apostate. You'll consume it on your own desires.
Yeah.
You ask and you receive not because you think you will consume it on yourself. Because self isn't. You're not here. You're gone. You're history.
Yeah.
So therefore, the fact that you lack isn't an indicator that you're, you know, know how to pray, or you're not working right, or you're not doing things right. It's an indicator of that you're still at the point of double-mindedness.
Mm-hmm. See, I've never.
You understand it now? You still think there's two, that there's something needing to be done in you.
Yeah, I'm always thinking that if we're comparing myself with Barbara, there's something not right about me, and I have to do. And I keep thinking that's really stupid. All week long, I've been laying it down, and it comes back in. And I can't see now. Why can't I see that I am perfect just the way I am? I mean, sometimes I can see that, sometimes I can't.
Because you look after the senses. You're trying to meet your standards of perfection.
Yeah.
You listen, James said, you ask and you receive not. Why? Because you think you will consume it on your own lusts.
What does that mean, consume it on your own lusts?
You think it's for you and not for Christ.
Ah.
Yeah.
So that's what seven, that's really what seven means, isn't it?
Wow.
The only effect of grace that you can lack is that which you lack because you don't yet see the full revelation of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
It's on me to, I had a dream last night. It's kind of on me.
Oh man, this dream.
I just remembered it. I was in a truck with the other guys in the band. It was like a big truck, you know, with the tall sides. And we were just in the back. And we were going over big hills. And we went over this one, and boom, there's like three tornadoes. And I've always wanted to see a real tornado, but I'm definitely afraid of them for some reason. And we saw these tornadoes, and for some reason the truck was actually going backwards because the driver was on the other side of us, and we were going this way towards the tornadoes, and I was like banging on the side of the truck, and I was saying, no, go the other way, go the other way, go the other way. And we just saw more and more tornadoes, huge ones. It was just like a vista of just tearing everything up. And there was like one right in the middle of the road, and we were just going down this hill right into it. And, you know, as soon as we hit it, boom, I knew I had died in the dream. And all of a sudden, I was in hell. And this was what hell looked like. It was two-dimensional. It was like cartoons. It didn't really have depth. And there were just like people walking around.
You said men.
Men.
They were all men.
Walking around. And they were just of different sizes. It was like a hierarchy. There were real tiny men and bigger men. And the only thing that was going on was that the guys that were bigger were bending the smaller guys over and screwing them in the ass. And it was just like, and I just screamed. It was like, I just screamed. And I just begged God to do something, anything, because I was there. It was just like, it was the worst. It was that's one of the weirdest dreams I've ever had. The weirdest dream I've ever had. But it was so graphic. I mean, it was so real because it was the most real dream I've ever had, too.
You gotta make a music video.
Sounds real.
Sounds right.
Yeah. We're not gonna make a video.
we're not working at the radio station. We've already caved ourselves.
Gensloff?
Yeah.
No, Matt,
you know.
Rex G. He told me about that dream and I just went.
I don't know why you had such a weird reaction to it. It's my dream.
That's a freaky dream.
It was really strange.
So what happened?
So I woke up.
It was the next day.
So I came in and I said, Matt, why are you sleeping in the chair? See, he was coughing a lot last night and he wanted to have some dinner.
Well, okay, I'm free of that.
Bend over.
Only, that only works if you're in two dimensions.
Actually, I don't know how that could work.
Paper cuts. We get on it.
Okay.
Blah, blah, blah. Waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. Who shall also confirm you unto the end. Now, what the hell does that mean?
I don't know.
He shall confirm that you are at the end. It's to confirm the finishedness.
Till you see.
So you see.
Okay.
And you're blameless because you are in the day.
You're blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is the same thing that in Colossians, the prayer of Colossians 1:28, I think it is that Paul said that I may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's, I mean, you know, we talk about this every night, every night. And then something happens 5 minutes from now, and you're convinced that it's all a lie. And your mind says, because I need something else. Something needs to be different. Something needs to change. Whatever it is. That's what I kept screaming, yelling at Tina and Brenda today. That it's of God. It's perfect. It's now. Accept it. Surrender, as Lee said. Stop trying to change. Why do you gad about so much to change yourself? All right.
God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That you all speak the same thing. Mm-hmm. Now the reason, and we're going to talk about this, but my instincts tell me that we need to, you know, the other groups are meeting twice a week. Now my instincts tell me this group should meet twice a week. Then we meet the third time with the big group. Then on the day that we're not meeting, I'll start teaching another group.
Oh, you mean Saturday?
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever day it is. We gotta wait until everybody gets here. There's some bananas. But we, the bananas, all the groups then meet three times a week. Twice with here and then once together. Now one of the, just between you and I and Defense Post, the reason I wanna meet with all the groups on Sunday, for a while anyway, is to ensure that we are all speaking the same thing, that there are no divisions among us.
Amen. Yeah.
I just figured out the permutations. This means you're going to have to work 6 nights a week.
I do now already.
He doesn't
know. No, you work. I mean, 7. You're going to have to work 7 nights a week. Yeah, because if you start another group.
Well, Bananas is waiting 3 times a week. We'll just
meet
two.
I understand that, but it also means you have to meet on Friday.
Why?
Because the third group will have to meet 2 times plus.
Eventually.
Okay. I mean, it's meaningless, but...
Well, I don't care.
I just figured that out. I just wanted to show I was smart.
Got
okay.
Me convinced.
Do you understand that... Listen to that. Listen to the great beauty in this statement. That you all speak the same thing. Now, we speak the same thing by walking in the Spirit. Each of us walks, conducts our life, everyday life. We walk not in the flesh, but we walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh, or the lust of the flesh. The reason is, to walk in the Spirit doesn't mean you run around speaking in tongues. To walk in the Spirit means you walk in the mind that it's finished.
Yeah.
Do you understand? That may be the most revolutionary thing you will ever hear, especially if you've ever been to any other churches.
Mm-hmm. And I think of all the places I went that didn't even offer you any hope, you know?
But do you understand what I'm saying? That we all speak the same thing, that there be no division, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. The only way that can be done, I mean, it would take a freshman philosophy course. The only way that could be done is that you walk with the mind that it's finished. Any other condition would make that scripture impossible.
This is a body with no disease.
Amen. Without spot or wrinkle. With no leprosy.
Yeah. Because, I mean, dis-ease is... That's
yeah, dis-use,
no,
dis-ease.
No,
yeah. Without
this
ease.
This is all comfort and all one thing.
Yeah, there's not one spot saying...
Or I gotta do this.
I'll get cancer.
But can you see the beauty of it? Now, mm-hmm. Just as the body here... This body automatically, every cell in this body automatically gives to the next cell.
Yeah.
If it doesn't give to the next cell, it's cancerous by definition. The only thing that you, your only responsibility before God and man is to give. Nothing else. You can't give unless you know you have.
Yeah,
that's true.
Why?
I just like that.
But you have all things. You own all things. But you, now we run into little things. Okay, so Beth was in the hot seat this weekend, right? Okay, so Beth comes back. You remember her hot seat about building up that which she's torn down, trying to get the idols of Highland Park idols again, right?
I wasn't there.
Well, it was.
Well, you can.
You can imagine. Highland. She's now wants to gain her mother's approval and everything, and the Highland Park idolatry and all of the little things. Now she's starting to get it.
Yeah, she is.
So, she got
in a weird
out.
Way, but it still happened.
Well, but she was giving breath to it, so she got wiped out in the hot seat, big time.
Yeah.
So.
That's a summary.
Today, Beth comes and says, okay, I've talked to my parents and I'm moving out, and now what do I do? I said, Beth, what the fuck are you talking about? Well, after the hot seat, I just figured I had to move out of my mother's house. Well, what are you going to do? Well, I don't know. Why are you moving? Well, I just chewed her ass because, again, she took the freedom of the position and said, it's something I need to do.
Yeah.
You can just hear it.
Do you understand me?
Oh, hell yeah.
The freedom is we see.
Amen. Amen.
She's sort of
she can live there, but she's not subject to it.
She doesn't have to give breath to anything. Hell, if I had rich parents, I'd probably live there too.
I'd be cashing in.
What?
I'd be deb too.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd make a great deb.
In the eyes.
But he has to wear that blue sweater. The blue sweatshirt, so it brings out the blue of his eye.
And,
do you do the full floor bow?
Right, touch your head to the floor. Right?
He's got, he just took Barbara's place for an instant there tonight.
I got some of that.
Barbara really wanted to say it.
Do you understand a little bit the freedom we're about, the heritage we have?
I didn't realize what you were doing.
It's
I was
really
so until I realized we did.
You know what? I've been hearing this shit for a long time. And it's...
Jim.
I don't know what happens. But something is happening. And...
You hear it?
It's just freaking me out.
Good.
Well, I'm really eloquent.
That was good. Okay.
This is the first thing I know, man. Freaking me out.
For it hath been declared.
Well, Professor, what do you
think? For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, there are contentions among you.
Now stop a minute. Look and see. And you'll see if you read. If you open your eyes and read the New Testament, throughout it you'll see the house of, or the house of, or this and this. They met just like we do. They had to have at least 10, but no more than 20. Before they were 10, they weren't yet a body. They were a study.
This is like, so it would have been like the House of Rutledge, just the Rutledge
House of Duncan, there. The House of
House of Oley, or yeah. House of whatever.
Exactly.
It's the House of Ferguson.
Okay.
Now this I say, that every one of you say it, I am of Paul, and I of
Apollos,
and I of
Cephas,
and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul?
See, now, I mean, you can visualize. I mean, this is going to happen to us.
Well, it has happened, sort of.
Yeah, with the Bloom's group. Yeah, yeah. Same thing.
Yeah. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius.
Did I baptize Crispus?
Gaius.
You got Gaius.
Gaius?
And biggest dickest.
I know that's staying on the tape.
Edit.
Really?
Okay.
Lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name.
Amen.
And I baptized also the house of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized
him. You can just see Paul writing this letter.
I remember.
Sosthenes is the scribe here. Because Paul can't write. He can't hardly see. So Sosthenes is the scribe. And he's talking. He's saying, oh, wait a minute. Barbara, did I ever baptize anybody? Well, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. The household of Stephanus. I forgot.
It was a Tuesday in Pittsburgh.
God, this is funny.
Hilarious. What was I doing that?
I never. Well, once.
Yeah. Not very often.
One time in
there. And if you could scribe gas, you know, there'd be lots of.
Okay. Now, here comes the power. Watch. Read.
For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect.
Amen.
For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness.
Amen.
But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
The preaching of the cross is the power of God.
Whoa!
Oh, wow.
Whoa. Does this mean...
No.
It's the power of God to those of us who are saved. Does this mean the preaching of the cross isn't the power of God to the people you're preaching to?
Of course not.
Well, it looks like it means, I guess.
Yes. For it is
it's only... You don't preach to the circle. You don't preach to the congregation. Well, listen.
Preaching the cross is the power of God to the one who's preaching.
No, but it's the one who... It's
yes.
Always. It's the same. It's the word of the cross, the preaching. It's the word. It says here...
It's like it makes Christ in you...
For the preaching, it's in the Greek, verse 18 says, for the logos of the cross, the word of the cross, is to them that perish foolishness.
What do you mean, logos?
It's just the word.
Yeah.
But unto us which, now, and again, in the translation, it's better. It should be better translated. Unto us which are being saved, it is the power of God.
Amen. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.
Okay, now remember, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now, wise and prudent, the word prudent there is a word in the Greek that Pete did a word study on. And if he found out that it's the word that means the ability to add one and one. I mean, to be prudent is to accept the fact that one and one equals two. Do you understand that for us, that's a not viable concept? I don't want to confuse you with those of you who lack math genes, but the only reason 1 and 1, 1 plus 1 equal 2, is because of linear time. If you take time out of any mathematical equation, it falls apart. Time, 1 is all we know. There's no such thing as zero, and one is everything. One can't be added to. Therefore, it's impossible for us ever to lack anything, whether it's natural, physical, soul, or spirit.
Holy shit.
Would you explain, though, you know, when you said if you take time out of it, I got lost.
Well, the only reason any science or math is true is because they've made the boundaries of the tank little.
It's little, yeah.
Okay? If I take the boundaries off, the boundaries are linear time, then no scientific principle, no cause and effect, no reward and punishment, no mathematical formula is true.
Amen. But
out of time, one plus one can't equal anything. Because there's nothing more than one. And one is all.
Saying there's another one.
Now, one plus one means that something has to be added in order for you to be complete. Now, all that mathematics is a language. And it's an extension of your... That's why most people never understand math, because they never get to the point, the teachers never show them, that all mathematics is an extension of language to have a system to describe that which is not describable by words. Math is nothing. In Hebrew there's no numbers. You all know that?
No.
Okay. In the Hebrew language, or in the Hebrew system of thought, there are no numbers. And so every letter has a mathematical equivalent. So when you write a number, you write also a name. Or when you write a name, you also write a number. That's why the jokers that, you know, let him that in the book of Revelation, when it says the number of the Antichrist is the number of a man, his number is 666, and so they go, oh, it's Henry Kissinger. No, that's no, that's Ronald Reagan. No. But they apply numerology based on a language that has numbers and letters. It's impossible. It's like comparing, you know, it's like trying to mate a whale with a chicken. Numerology as a concept only has validity.
I see that. I'm sorry.
Numerology only has validity when it is endemic to the system of the language. In other words, when there is no numbering except the letters.
Yeah.
That's why the modern numerologists and stuff, they're just pissing up a rope. I mean, it's ridiculous. Because they define their own constraint. What?
That's two in a row.
What?
Pissing up a rope and mating a whale and a chicken. This side of the room is still on the mating a whale and a chicken. Ollie, I'd like to point out that on the numerology thing over here, we had a response. It wasn't amen, it was a holy shit.
1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now, foolishness there means without intellectual content.
Wow.
Without it just seems ludicrous. The idea that it's finished and you have nothing to do except to respond and be honest. That's ludicrous to the natural mind. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.
This is like I can't remember somewhere in Luke. Where he says, you know, the wise won't understand this, but babies will.
And he says, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid this from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed it unto babes. Mm-hmm. That one?
Yeah.
That's
Okay, where is the wise?
Those who think they can figure it out.
Yeah, come on. Mm-hmm. Contend with me. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Now, how do you make foolish the wisdom of the world in your mind? By seeing out of time.
Take your time.
This is why nobody will ever take up the proposition to come and debate you.
No. Well, somebody will someday.
Can you get slapped upside the head?
Rex is going to debate me.
Good man.
He's going to play, anyway.
Going to dress up.
For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require... Now, he's not talking about the nationality. He's talking about a type. The Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are.
Wow.
That no flesh should glory in his presence. You were meant to fail. Quit fighting that failure. There is no thing that you have experienced that you think is negative that isn't necessary to bring you to the point of this time. Stop the struggle. Surrender to it, as Lee said. But of him are you in Christ Jesus. Now, Christ is in you. Now you enter in him. The Ark of the Covenant is all gold inside and outside. Remember the acacia wood that it's made from. It's ugly, knotty. It's the ugliest wood there is. But it's covered inside and outside with pure gold, beaten gold, tested gold. The gold inside is Christ in you. The gold outside is you in Christ. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That is, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Doesn't mean you run around and say, praise God, I give you all the glory. It means that you only and ever... It means that you never, ever, ever again seek your own rightness.
Kind of like when he says, to me to live is
Christ, to die is gain. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech. Now, the idea of excellency of speech is that it's the idea of well-constructed arguments, the idea of debate. My words are totally unimportant. The kingdom of God is not in words. You've got to get that in your mind. The kingdom of God is love and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. All that the words can do is show you what it isn't.
Yeah.
That's what the preaching of the cross is. It's the power of God, because it releases the power of God in you, because you then cannot give importance. If there's anything in your life save the seed of Christ in you that is important, talk to me. If you have any worth other than that which you contain, talk to me. If you have any, if you're giving breath to anything external to that, talk to me. Contend with me. Tell me about it. Convince me. My brethren came to you, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I don't give a shit about anything else.
What does this mean, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified?
Exactly that. It's that His crucifixion is all I want to know in you. I want to see that you know that you are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live. But not you that live, but Christ that liveth in you. And the life you live in the flesh, you live by the faith of the Son of God. I want to take you beyond belief in God, or faith in God, to the faith of God, which is knowing. To present every one of you perfect in Christ Jesus. Today, not someday if you change. Now, and I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And if any of you have been with me very long, I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words. Now, the word enticing there is a definitive word. It's a technical word that it's a word of commerce, teaching you that you can get something. It's an enticing word. It's I'm going to sell you something that's going to benefit you. This isn't going to benefit you. It's going to kill you.
You're putting out bait.
Yeah. And I was with you, and my speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, the word power there is the Greek word dunamis. It doesn't mean, you know, I've heard charismatics say that meant dynamite, dynamo. Well, it's not. It's dunamis. It means efficacy, sure ability. You understand?
Yeah.
That he cannot fail. Let every man deny him. He cannot deny himself. Gets better here in a minute.
Yeah, this isn't very good.
That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power or the ability of God. However, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Now, the word perfect there has nothing to do with your external condition. The word perfect is the Greek word teleos, and it means that which has been fully tested. When you have been tested in these arenas, and that gal asked me last night, well, what is faith to you now? How do you live by faith? Well, if we were in the first century, to live by faith meant that if I said I believed in Christ, it would kill me. Physically dead, hurt. They'd hurt my body. The test for you now, because now this test is subtler, and may still end up being that, but now the test is along a different line, because it's the final cosmetic of the bride, because time is about to end. And now the test is your honesty. You must speak what's there, no matter what the cost. That is the life of faith. However, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes. And the word princes there just means the ones that are in charge. Okay? You're a prince of this world because you are the prince or leader of your world. You understand? That's what the context is. It doesn't mean that. not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, do you understand? All men are crucifying the Lord of glory. You crucify him every day when you're not in joy. The reason you do is because he's crucified at Golgotha, the place of the skull.
Hmm.
You understand?
I never thought about that before.
And you, as the prince of this world, you are the son of the God of this world. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you will to do. Therefore, you have to abandon self. Give no breath. Because all the prince of this world does is crucify the Son of God afar. Daily. That's why you give no breath to this. You see through it. You see through the veil of the flesh. That you are permanently seated on the mercy seat. Perfect, holy, complete, tested, loved, accepted, sanctified. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but that which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And whenever you see the word spiritual, it has nothing to do with what you think it means, because you've been taught spiritual means some kind of weird deal. All that spiritual means is the mindset that it's finished.
That's when you mean all things become, you know, there's spiritual.
All things are spiritual. All right. But the natural man, without the cross, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You can't know it until you see it's finished. That's the great gulf between man. It's impossible to cross without the cross. Now, in verse 15, he that is spiritual judgeth. Now, the word judge there is a terrible translation. He that is spiritual understands, or rightly understands, all things, yet he himself is understood of no man.
Yeah, you can really see how poorly translated it is in a second.
For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
It's kind of like a two-part. Who's done the mind of the Lord, but he may instruct him, like, you know, how can you be God's counselor?
Yeah, the mind, right. The mind of Christ doesn't instruct the Father.
Right.
We run around and we instruct him. By our plans, our little thoughts, our little things, our desires to be different than we are in effect God's counselor. God hates lawyers.
On 15, only when you said judgeth means understands, how did you figure that out, or how did it come to you that it means understands and not?
Go look at the, in a freshman Greek. Yeah. You can look in any concordance.
This thing about the natural and the spiritual, and the natural being not saying it's finished, and the spiritual saying it's finished. When you said that, I remember the other night we were talking about, you know, you come out of the world and you go through the wilderness. But if you come out alone, as opposed to part of a people, if you come out alone, you can only get to the place of bitterness, the water, the Marah, the place of bitterness.
Amen.
That's as far as the natural man can go. And that
the thing that happened there was when they threw the wood of the cross into the water, it turned sweet. It's like the believing that it's not finished, the only thing you can come to is bitterness.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know a lot of
people. There's a lot of people.
Because there's no end to the not finishedness.
Let me say this. I you know, I was on the radio and television a whole lot. I interviewed hundreds and hundreds of people. And they're, I mean, and I talked to them about this stuff privately. I didn't, when I was on the air, I normally just questioned. And I can't remember how, I mean, I don't even have them written down, but, you know, I can, there are so many that said, if you ever start a Bible study, come, call me. You know, but I want you to stop and think of, in the young people, the people who have seen through the lies, and all like become kind of cynics, they have no other answer.
Mm-hmm. Or drug addicts.
You know. I mean, they're dying because the people that are in, allegedly our allies, are blaspheming the name of God. You know what blaspheming is? To blaspheme legally in the law, in here, means to deny the foundation. To blaspheme in the New Testament means to say it isn't finished. That's why the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit is so... And it's the unforgivable sin.
Now when you say the words, it is finished, that's synonymous with Jesus Christ is come.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. The desired one.
That's the denying of the foundation.
Right. That's why when you, he is the stone or the foundation which the builders rejected. They denied the foundation stone, or the cornerstone, and therefore they blaspheme. That's why Jesus said, many shall come in that day saying, Lord, Lord, we have done all these things in thy name. And he shall say, depart from me, I never knew you, ye workers of iniquity. The word iniquity, again, is a word in the Greek, I mean it's translated from the Hebrew, which means self-effort. You have to have self-effort if you don't believe it's finished. There's only one lie in the universe, and that lie is you're separate, i.e. it isn't finished.
There's no end to that.
Because you can't go back.
Yeah, that's why.
I mean,
you guys think I'm kidding when I say if you hear this stuff, it's the last place. It's the last point in the gates of hell, before the gates of hell. You can never hear this and hear anything else, I promise you.
That's weird Harry would say that because what rings in my mind is talking to my mother, you know, and she's so bitter, but I can see my mother in me. And the only thing that I can keep hearing Oli say is the bitterness of your soul and now you're going to God. I mean, that hits me all the time when I see
him. That's that root of
bitterness.
Yeah.
No. Amen?
Amen. What a horrible place to be.
Yeah.
But that's why... I mean, you guys, I'm sure you're beginning to understand that it is no light thing to either hear this stuff or say it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been tossing this shit around for years. Hey! Be the light of the party. Christ is in you, bud. You
I don't talk about this so much anymore.
Yeah, it's like the heavier we get into this, it's like, you really want to say anything?
That's why Christ, Paul said, I am determined to speak of nothing until it is wrought in me or worked out in me by Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Because then it's not, once it's worked out in you, then it's knowing.
Amen.
Then you're a mystic. You experience what you know.
It's blasphemy.
It's blasphemy.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah. It's just more rhetoric.
That's what blew Glenna's mind last night. I talked to her a long time about that. Well, what sets you guys apart from everybody else? I said, we think it's finished. What does that mean?
That means you have to be a mystic. What does that mean? You know, da-da-da-da. There's no telling what she's going to put in that article. Oh, we were visited last night by the writer that's writing the story about us, or me, or who knows what she's writing about. But
the phrase she used today was the story about all these testimonies.
Okay.
This is redeeming. Why not?
William, is that definition of a mystic that you just gave the world's definition, or the true one? Obviously the true one, but are they right also?
I don't know what their definition is. I don't care. I mean, that's all. Let me say, I don't really care what other people think about words or what they mean or not. I know that for us, knowing is what it means.
Yeah, you're either a mystic or a Gnostic.
You know. You're either a mystic or you're one that... Gnostic just means it's gotten perverted. A Gnostic in the first century was one who intellectualized it. That's what the word means, knowing. God demands epignosis, which is experienced knowing.
Meat.
Well, it's not milk.
No, a lot of this is milk.
Yeah, shitload was milk tonight. Buttload.
Well, except for the chicken and the whale analogy.
What's so weird is a lot of stuff you said tonight, you've said a million times, and I'm just starting to understand it. I told Matt, it's like, how many times does he have to say it before I understand what he says?
Maybe we should be like sleeping with a tail.
But that's why God. No, I mean, but that's why God is.
Repetition.
You know, that's why he's faithful. I mean, he's not willing. He's not willing that you perish or you not see. So time is delayed. I mean, don't worry.
I told Barbara there was one of my things on the hot. This is gonna sound real queer. This is one of the funny ones I remember. My brother used to call me Dunderhead, and I used to just freak out. I said, you're so stupid, such a dunderhead.
We'll never call you that.
Take a big guy.
Will we?